talked about clubs, and I'm sure Kate Wells would as well, and any of the rest of the people who have been involved in clubs in the past, but I'm not willing to do it myself.
Do you want to give out your number for those who are interested in volunteering to help get together a forum or who want to, kick in a couple hundred thousand
for
a club?
Sure. The number of the Compassion Flowing In, 466-0420.
466-0420, and that's bed, board, and breakfast, not boat, board, and breakfast.
And we have to talk more about, I know you're really up on the homeless problems here and the homeless condition, the sleeping ban and so forth, but we have a lot of people that hang out in our parking lots all around the inn here that keep our guests awake at night. We had somebody last night that just was booked for two nights that was infuriated with the loud street noise out here. And, drunkenness at 3 o'clock in the morning, they checked out and they said they're never going to come back.
Were these the homeless or were these the bar set?
It's not the bar set. It's more or less the people who are the habitual drunks.
Yeah.
And we see them all the time. And it's pretty much the same hardcore group of people down here in the south part of Pacific Avenue that just hang out all the time. And, of course, these parking lots give good refuge and privacy for them to go on and do their party. They buy their alcohol probably at the little corner liquor store down here in Pacific and Laurel, and they take their sips from their alcohol into the parking lots, and then they hang around in the parking lots, and the party continues. These are probably homeless people, but they're alcoholics also. They're chronic alcoholics.
We had Tracy talking about one of the main topics was this proposal of tougher laws for habitual drunks, which I suppose I should ask you about. I could have opposed them. I want to get some stats from him on how effective it's really nice to clear people away. I mean, if people are engaging in abusive behavior, which is a criminal behavior, that's criminal behavior. You got to either deal with criminals or you got to offer them medical alternatives, and that's one thing. But, the idea of, open containers being illegal and the idea of criminalizing poor people for doing what rich people do in the privacy of their homes,
yep.
Assuming that they're not keeping, everybody else awake, as apparently these people were.
Yeah, and they do it all the time. I mean, when you get drunk, Robert, generally people get loud and rowdy, and these guys are just,
You can open up a little marijuana shop on the corner to compete with the alcohol store.
Well, I talked with Chris, the other day on the street. He's always around still, and he's always willing to give some free advice. He says we should really raise some money and close down that little liquor store here on Pacific and Laurel. Close that thing down, and that gives me an idea. I said, we'll open up a little cannabis dispensary there, and they take care of everybody's needs. And people, they get more quiet usually when they just smoke. I mean, if you smoke and drink, then you get pretty much the same results. But if you just smoke, you probably get more introspective and more, these people will, be joining a painting class or something like that.
I think entrepreneurs who are interested in either supporting another cannabis club, the forum, or possibly the Netherlands on the Mall shop should give a call to you at 466-0420.
Yeah, exactly. And I've got a copy of the summary of the medical marijuana investigations and the request here for it.
I'll call you up afterward and try to get it from you.
Okay, good.
Thanks, Andrew.
Okay, Robert.
Talking to Andrew. Thank you. The Compassion Flower Inn.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
And it's from the SNP 96.3 FM that you are listening to. 427-3772 is the call number. We have about 15 minutes left. We're starting off with life. And we're going to hear the city council agenda before this long, and I think very productive discussion of some aspects of medical marijuana, what the board of supervisors thought and have been doing. I don't know what's coming up on Tuesday. I guess I'm assuming that we're coming up. I think Andrea would know about it, but I failed to ask her. And if if you still aren't there on doing another, then we give us a call back quickly and let us know about that. I'm looking at the city council agenda, the afternoon consent agenda. Here, they got some small changes, accessory dwelling units. There's been a brouhaha about that. I'm in favor of the decriminalizing accessory dwelling units. we haven't done that yet. They've come to life, I guess, designed for certain new limits and made that a possibility, but they haven't done the grandfathering in yet, which I think really needs to be done in order to get renters protection. Again, I'm not entirely up on that issue. Here's a police overtime grant, a resolution authorizing city manager to apply for grant from the U.S. Department of Justice, Office of Community Policing Services, for overtime funding, and that's giving all documents and form approved by the city attorney to accept such a grant. Unfortunately, the people doesn't seem to know any school or anything. Oh, no, it's ready to go. Yeah, here it is. It looks like a grant they're looking for $100,000. Requires a 25% cash match from participating agencies. And this is for training and community policing operations. I'm always skeptical of money for the police department. I'll be told, of course, it's worth saving local money by getting it from the feds. And of course, if that's got to come from somewhere, as Bethel Branson pointed out the last council meeting, when the issue of money for the police came up, then I guess what I'll find out is where it's going. We don't have any real oversight of the police department. The city council doesn't do it. The Census Police Rebuild isn't there to do it. I have no idea what Bob Aronson, the court-appointed monitor, is doing. There's other stuff here on the consent agenda, which I'm rolling through. You can get a copy of the agenda. It's in the library. You can go look at it if you want. There's a loan to the homeless garden project for $35,000. Now, if they don't remove the funding from police harassing vehicles around the homeless garden project, here's a vending permit for Brick Ricks and Jumpin' Jada, coffee truck in the Hardy West on this side. Good luck to you guys. Installation of a traffic signal for Soquel and Dakota Avenue is coming up. All these on the consent agenda are passed. We must get over there and say no to them. Other items, I'm not seeing anything terribly sexy. Budget reductions. Budget crisis ad hoc committee report. And this is going to be talking about the budget committee that we were not allowed to go to for the last 6 months. And Seaside Committee also wants to put in a new ride for those who want to announce expansion of the Seaside Committee. They're going to be reducing 1.5 million and 15,000 full-time positions, as summarized in Attachment A. And there's numerous things about parks and rec cuts, police about eliminating a couple of record technicians, security contract, Criminal Justice Council, a community service aid will be eliminated. They'll convert two police officers to CSAs. It looks like a relatively small reduction, a reducing $387,000 reduction for the police department. So of the entire budget, reduction of $1.5 million, about $400,000 for the police department, less than about a quarter, maybe. And when I say the term, I think the police department budget is 30%. I have to kind of look at that in the press and in the world. Unfortunately, we're running out of time, so if those are interested, get the city council, give me a call, 4-3-3-HELP. If you come up with some interesting perspectives on this, or you think you want to present, get the city council and want support. Those on the redevelopment agency agenda, an item on agencies, local hiring policies, and corporate apprentice positions. I'd like to see them do something about the 1010 Pacific Avenue thing. And here, hold on, just in fact, this is our spoke. It is on the redevelopment agency's item number 5, and apparently they're going to be adopting a statement, or considering adopting a statement that says, let's see, redevelopment agency is going to present a resolution. It's entered into an agreement with the 1010 Pacific investors. Those are the people who are behind that building at Half Barton Pacific, which is using non-union labor and apparently not a prevailing wage, to provide a subsidy to pay the rent on affordable housing units in connection to the occupancy by very low and moderate income for the project being constructed. So the redevelopment agency is giving money supposedly to expand low-income housing. However, if what I heard from Jim Ross is correct, Ross went to the last budget committee chit-chat with the mayor, who, instead of letting people into the real ad hoc advisory budget committee meetings with council members, she held sort of these special fluffy meetings off to the side. At the last one, no one went to it. It was on Wednesday, except for Jim. So Jim got an hour with the mayor, and if that's a punishment or a delight, that would be a little above. I wouldn't know. We have to talk to him. But what he found out, she kind of took notes on what he was saying, and did get one piece of information, and he asked about the rents of 1010 Pacific. Now, the rents of 1010 Pacific, according to what he was told, are going to be $500 a per month, which sounds good. Except he also found out, and this man may not be off here, but this is what he told me, that Riley told him, they will be required $2,400 a month income verification to get the $500 a month income. Goodbye, low income. Goodbye, very low income. And I have to say goodbye, extremely low income, ERI, as they call it. So that's the bad report that I got from Jim, from Riley. Riley also didn't express too much interest in the police problems downtown in terms of the problems the police are giving the people. The construction of shelter space, that wasn't, I don't know if that was even discussed. There's been, as you know, the number of places a person could go to sleep legally tonight will be 29 spaces on the floor for 29 people for 1,500 to 2,000 homeless people. That's your standard Riley Porter Rotkin solution in Santa Cruz. They won't allow people to shelter themselves or sleep legally, even if they're causing no other problems. Well, let's put it this way. They leave the sword of the police hanging over everybody's head so people can't gather in groups safely and protect each other from the kinds of crimes that we see on the front page of the Sentinel today, the killing of, what's his name? Jody Hunter. So, that's the City Council Redevelopment Agency coming up with supposed, again, as the affordable housing charade goes on. Then we have the ADUs are going to be on in the evening, accessory dwelling unit changes, and I haven't got the specifics, but I still haven't heard that there's an amnesty. I'm told at different times this is a first step. I heard a lot about these so-called first steps. I think that's it for the City Council meeting, so it doesn't look terribly exciting. In terms of other material, in terms of other stuff that I'm going to try to cover in 3 minutes, which is going to be fun to watch. What have we got here? Oh, we're in trouble. Let's see. Okay, I'm making my way back to some other items here, which hopefully we can spin at you pretty quickly. And I went to court on Friday in the infamous jaywalking case, which I've talked about in the past. In that jaywalking case, I was going back to court in a month for trial. I was able to get discovery from the police department, which means they sent me documents that they otherwise were going to charge me, I don't know, $50 to $100 for, but by getting a subpoena, I was able to get them free. And I think this is very important for people in the future. If you're charged with infraction offenses, it's an abusive process that's going on here, or you just need documents to defend yourself, you can get them through a subpoena process, and you have to figure out how to do that. Good place to do that may be the forum that Jan Golder is going to come down with in early June at the library, and we're going to give you more information on that, second floor of the library. I'm thinking June 10th, but I hope I'm not wrong about that. Might be June 9th. I'm going to give you the exact date when I come back on Thursday, which is when the show returns, 6 o'clock in the evening. Bathroom Spears Broadsides is, of course, what you're listening to and what you'll hear then. So it was a good hearing. I was surprised. Nobody showed up in court against me, and I got some more information about who's been getting jaywalking tickets other than me. The answer was nobody else on that day, as far as I know. And I'm going to try to show selective enforcement, as well as some other items, some other forms of defense as well. What else we got here? Huff members are looking into the issue of the street performers. Keep Santa Cruz Weird. Where are the profits going to from the Coonerty t-shirts and bumper stickers? And preliminary indications are good that Neil Coonerty, though he disagrees with most of us, in fact, brought us these anti-homeless laws back in 1994, and is pretty much going along with them now in 2003, that the money for that he's been gathering will eventually make its way to street performers. I'm not entirely clear on the process, but I understand that that is
That's the update from Tom Noddy. There's got to be more details on that, which I hope to get for you. Got a message from Billy Starr, musician over in Hawaii. He used to be on the streets of Santa Cruz. Billy was attacked by Nazi skinheads beating trollbusters, as I put it up. He was attacked last month. He fractured skull, but he's back in business again. And he's still got his guitar, he says. He's still hanging in there. Says hello to everybody. I'm going to have to postpone until next Thursday, if we do it then. Martine Bernal's rather interesting statements to me on why commission members don't have to provide emails, and I guess I talked about that a little with Thomas Levitt. Jason Pascal, the African-American tarot reader on the Avenue, who was the target of Butchie Baker's campaign of harassment and finally deported back to New Hampshire, is still in New Hampshire facing a parole hearing, hopefully on the 27th, where he's going to be transferred, he hopes, into some ward where he can get away from the scene, where he can actually get his insulin treatments, and he can get other treatments he wants. He's taking the mental health road to try to get some kind of better treatment there, and we'll see what happens. And I actually may have his attorney calling us on Thursday. His attorney seems to be very reasonable. He's going to call us back. Justin P. Nadeau. He will probably be posting something, or I'll be posting something, on the Indie Media website. That's www.santacruz.indymedia.org. And that's actually the old website, but it'll take you to the new one. And look up Jason Pascal, P-A-S-C-H-A-L, or read the new issue of Street Spirit, which is hopefully going to be available at the Homeless Resource Center down there and at the Page Smith Community House, or from Becky Johnson, who's the Street Spirit vendor, at 429-8529. Again, I have a report on Jason, which is longer, which I'll try to give you an update for you on Thursday between 6 and 8. What else do we have here? Let me see. We're actually, I think, running up completely against the clock. I'm expecting the next one. And he's arrived. Welcome to Free Radio. So what we're going to do is we're going to go out on a little music here. And actually, I think we're just about to cut into the time of the next host here, we're going to let him choose the music. If you want to catch us between times, 427-3772. Actually, that's the number you can catch us here at the studio. But if you want to catch me off air, it's 423-HUFF, 423-4833. Hang on. We don't want to go up yet. And you can also come to the HUFF meeting if you'd like. That's where lots of things get talked about. Baker Square, 1107 Ocean. That's at 8:30 on Wednesday morning. And until then, I'll see you on Thursday. Come on back and keep your eyes on the streets and let me know what you see.
Freak Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. You're listening to My Morning Jacket, all the way from Louisville, Kentucky.